You're listening to Love and Light with Dr. Lisa, Everyday Living in Peace. Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today, and most people don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. The key to this is simple: love. Join me, Dr. Lisa Collins, for the next hour as I unpack and identify the need for a peaceful, love-filled existence by engaging the challenging and hard topics of life. On this show, you will lean into the healing practices that enlarge your spiritual reality through the act of love. This kind of love begins with yourself and your neighbor and transcends age, race, sex, generation, class, and sexual identity. The world changes when we root ourselves in love. Love and Light with Dr. Lisa starts now. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Lisa, and you are listening to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience how to bring more love into your everyday life. We are here each second and fourth Wednesday from 1 p.m. Pacific, 12 Mountain, 4 Eastern, and we have tools for living every day in peace. Community well-being provides so much for so many. And how do we build community and well-being in our city or our town or wherever we live? How can we be intentional in creating and supporting a vision that welcomes collective growth? I'm really excited today. One shining example of supporting his community and the communities around the United States is Stephen Green, a voice for underrepresented entrepreneurs. Stephen, a true connector of people, works to build a bridge of banking and finance expertise to assist deserving businesses to start, grow, and prosper. Welcome, Stephen, to Love and Light.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Collins. Appreciate it.
It is your work is, I've been cyber stalking you for a little bit or on the social medias looking at the great work that you do. Tell us about your journey. How did you become the person that brings so much light into communities?
Yeah, I'm just a guy who's pretty good with some spreadsheets. I'm an economist by training. I've always had a passion for community. I know that definitely comes from my parents. Both my parents were entrepreneurs. Growing up mainly here in Portland, we don't have the largest Black community, but we've got a really tight-knit community. So, you know, I learned early about the nod and the power of, you know, seeing people. And I also learned about, you know, the difference between signing the front of the check and signing the back of the check, as my dad used to say. And so, you know, my parents talked a lot about ownership and being able to write our own path and tell our own stories. And then really just following our passion. And so I think there's something to be said for all of us at some point in our life to be doing for a vocation what we're most passionate about. And maybe you don't do it for 30 years, but I think there's few things that you know, really touch your heart and feel you and have you feel accomplished beyond, you know, going and come up with something with your kitchen table, and then finding out some stranger 3,000 miles away paid their hard-earned money for that idea you had one time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love that. And Portland, Oregon has its own history, and Oregon in general has its own history. It was the only state to join the Union as a white-only state. And you talk about the close knit community. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm definitely a data nerd, so bear with me. You know, I think yes, Oregon was counted as an exclusionary state, but even before the state joined the Union in 1859, there was Black folks that lived all over the state, in counties far and wide, and so. You know, even though this wasn't a welcoming place for us, we still found a way for it to become our home. And oftentimes the folks that lived here in the 19th century were folks that were fleeing places where they could get lynched or, you know, other traumatic things happening versus Oregon was a place that didn't want us, but we also weren't, you know, being hung or risking our lives at night going out outside.
Mm-hmm. And so you've been in the state a long time, right?
Yes, ma'am. I was born in the Bay, but we moved here when I was 3 months old. And then My mom's from Puerto Rico. My dad's from Detroit, Michigan. And I split my time as a kid in here in Portland and then also in the east side of Detroit. So I'm the youngest of five boys. And I think my parents thought, you know, if we could navigate, you know, Portland and Beaverton in the 80s and 90s and also the east side of Detroit, you know, anywhere else we go as adults would be somewhere in the middle. I think they were spot on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that as well. Well, I've seen your work here in Portland and your journey as a person who has found their way with numbers. And so you help entrepreneurs. And I want to talk about that a little bit later, but can you kind of help our listeners understand that you're working from your heart and how you got into this space where you are, you know, pulling your hand back and pulling other people up?
Yeah. You know, it definitely comes from, you know, being a child. Numbers always came easy to me. I always saw things in data. As a kid, when I collected baseball cards, I would write what I didn't know at the time was a spreadsheet. I would make a table listing out all my cards and what they were worth and what I paid for them. And so I just had that natural inclination. And then from the community standpoint, you know, I have to thank my dad for that. He was someone who was very focused on community. And I remember in 1986, there were some people from a school here in Oregon that went missing on Mount Hood. And he came from work and he started packing his bag to go somewhere. And I was like, oh, where are you going? And he was like, well, I'm going to Mount Hood to look for the missing climbers. And I was like, well, you know, we were supposed to spend time together today. And, you know, the youngest of five, I was always trying to get time with my dad. And he was like, well, you know, in order for people to be found, someone's got to be looking for them. And, you know, that's something that's always stuck for me. And I think one of the reasons why I love working with founders is I love looking for them. And I love hearing people's stories. And I love hearing about how people got started, where they started, what they were doing, what they were thinking, the problem they were trying to solve. And with me being, you know, pretty good with numbers, I often found that I was able to help.
Wow. That warms my heart because a lot of my work is centered on community. And I know that when we are kind to one another and we follow Dr. King's tenets of nonviolence, we can create something that's beautiful. So I really love that story. And so tell us about how Pitch Black started. I mean, I have it up here and I have a little bit about it. But, you know, share with us how did you get there?
Yeah. So, you know, I've started a number of businesses over my career. One of those was a brew pub with some friends of mine in Northeast Portland. And that brew pub has a large event area where we could do big events. And back in 2015, I had just seen some new census data that talked about the number of Black businesses that there were in the state of Oregon. And lo and behold, it said that there was more than 4,000 Black businesses in the state of Oregon. And I was just blown away. I pride myself then and now on being someone who's relatively well-informed when it comes to Black and brown businesses. But I was just shocked by the number of businesses that the Census Bureau had identified. And so I thought to myself, you know, man, there's such a difference between the data and the stories that we see and the stories that we tell ourselves. What can I do to help change people's perspectives as mine was changed in finding that out? And so I was like, hey, I know a bunch of Black businesses. I'm a recovering banker. I know a lot of businesses here in town. And I got an event space. You know, what if I threw a party for them? And then the question was, well, what kind of party? And at the time, Shark Tank was a pretty popular, show. And so it became an idea of, okay, what would be a pivot on Shark Tank? Okay, well, instead of having stuffy investors going and doing it, what if we had the audience pick the winners? And so threw something together with zero budget. We had 100 plus people show up. It was trending on Twitter. We gave away $700 in prize money that night. And it was just, you know, there was something in the air. And I heard from folks, you know, not only all over town, but I heard from folks in places like Cleveland and Detroit and Atlanta and New York, where I just figured there was already something like Pitch Black. And so that's where it started, you know, transform, you know, yourselves to the future, to 7 years later to today. And we've done events all over the country, and we've gotten almost 100 people up on the stage, and they've done their presentations in front of thousands of folks. And it's been an amazing journey. And so it's been really about helping ecosystems connect with the talent that's already in the mix. It's you know, as we talk about the kids of the future and investing in them, it's really, really important. But what's also really important is, you know, it's hard to be what you don't see. And so how do we lift up the people that are already doing stuff today?
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during My Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Tune in to the Sacred Attunement Show with Asher Countryman, unlocking the power of mind, body, soul abundance. Tune in every first and third Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Asher as she guides you to sacred attunement. Align your mindset and your actions to master your life's purpose. Discover more at sacredattunement.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin.
We are back on Love and Light, living every day in peace. And my guest, Stephen Green, is a voice for underrepresented entrepreneurs. Stephen is a true connector of people. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how they can contact you, Stephen. If they're interested in your work, where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, you know, I find a lot of community happens on Twitter. So people think that's probably the best way to connect with me there. Send me a DM. And my name on there is at PDX Stephen G, and that's S-T-E-P-H-E-N G. That's the best place to find me.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. So we were talking about Pitch Black, and I have looked how it all began with an idea. And this is what it says on the website. It says, "What if the whitest city in America led the way in bridging the support and amplification of Black-owned businesses? What if the capital talks shift from simply being about money and moved toward the importance of social capital as well?" That is quite something. Social capital.
Yeah, and that's, you know, really something that I learned in my decade plus in banking. You know, here I was supposed to be doing loans, but most of the value add that I was helping businesses with was answering questions that they had, but also, you know, helping them get answers to the questions they didn't even know to ask around their financials or partners or marketing, you know, taxes and other things. And so one of the things that I learned being a banker was, you know, what the central role you play in supporting businesses, whether or not they need a loan. And that's really the structure of what banking really used to be here in the United States. The first bank that I worked at actually had a bar in it that was open up until the 1980s, where the bank would close, and then after it closed, the bar would open. And that's where the branch manager and staff would connect with the people in the community and talk to them about what was going on.
There's so much around financial literacy in the Black community. And I'm a small business owner myself, and I don't know what I don't know. And the structures that are set up to help me, they really don't help. So
yeah, I completely agree. I think one of the things, especially about, our Black and Brown communities is, we don't talk about our health. We don't talk about our wealth. And I think that leads people to think that we don't know what we're doing when it comes to finance. But we just don't normalize the conversations. And so, what are the things that we can do to normalize those conversations, build peer mentor groups, and connect with people who are upstream and downstream from you in the journey of being a business owner? I think a key piece of being a founder is being smart enough to know something's a good idea, but dumb enough not to say no. Because if you find out too much, you'll talk yourself out of it and be like, why would I start a business that has such a high risk of failure? And so being naive is actually an important attribute, I think, to being a founder and going on the journey. And then it becomes, really the task of surrounding yourself with people, right? And so social capital is such an important thing. Very few businesses will ever get a loan. Even fewer businesses will ever, raise equity of any kind. But no founder is successful by themselves. And so it really becomes a task of, filling in the gaps where you're weak and also putting yourself in networks where you can be successful and gain insights into the market and industry where you have to grow.
Yeah, I mean, you said quite a bit there. I mean, that's a lot. And when you don't know where to go, I think one of the things that I find so amazing and valuable about your work is that you do let it be known that, hey, you can do this, and we have a vehicle for you to do it. And then the raising of funds for you also, take us back to that first time with $700. And the audience votes, right?
Yep, the audience completely 100%. They are the ones that decide who gets money at the end.
And so the entrepreneur pitches their idea, and the audience votes, and they walk away with some funds.
Yes, yeah, and I think one of the keys about what I've learned in doing the event over a dozen times now all across the country is, what people win doesn't matter. The big win is really being center stage. And I think that's something that we as humans, and especially we as business owners, very seldomly get. And so to be able to be on stage in front of the spotlight, in front of all of your neighbors and friends and strangers in your town, and have them chime in on your idea and say, we believe in you. We want to see you thrive. We want to see you be successful. No amount of money, changes that. And so I think whether people win or not, they always come away like, wow, I feel supported. I feel seen in my community that so often just thinks I don't exist.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, for the Black community, I think that here we are in 2022, and we are still looking for those inroads and looking for that mentorship and looking for people to kind of reach back like you're doing and help us to be able to get those businesses started, to be able to read and understand some of the red tape and things that are before us. These bureaucratic systems they can be so discouraging.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of it still comes back to the stories that we tell ourselves. And I think for a lot of business owners, I think their location in, whatever small corner of town, maybe that's all it can be, but no one's ever generally brought up to them, hey, you could have 100 of these. What does the plan and work look like to do that? And it's actually not that difficult. It's pretty simple. It's just not easy. And I think, the game changer for a lot of these folks is just helping them change their mindset from one of, oh, I thought this was a plan, versus, oh, all these other things are available to me. I didn't even know. Where to start, who to connect with, or what it would cost.
Sorry. Wow. Where do you think business owners, is there a hub for people to go that need to have that conversation? I mean, I know I am constantly getting reached out to from people saying, hey, do you want to sell your business? Do you want to scale your business? I have no relationship with those people. And the answer is no, because I have no idea what that even means. But what do you think? Like, how do we build community around this entrepreneurship that's a safe place for small business owners?
Yeah, I think part of it is just normalizing the conversations and making them centered cultural, right? I think for different communities, they have different spheres of influence. And so, you know, one of the things I talk to people here in Portland about is, hey, if you're going to an entrepreneurship event, it's very common for that event to be in Pearl and to be at a swanky place. You can have that same amazing event and do it at a Black barbershop in Northeast Portland, right? Yeah. And so understanding spheres of influence, understanding, you know, how communities are very similar, but also different, and where to be able to tap in. I think those are huge opportunities that don't cost a lot of money. And then admitting that, hey, we've got amazing entrepreneurs in our community already. I'm just not connecting with them versus, you know, I'm the first one to do this or no one's ever done this bigger than me. No, there's a lot of people that have. You're just not connected with them. And so, you know, what are the opportunities to make those connections and help people, again, build that social capital that can help be the difference between them starting and stopping or starting and scaling to the next level?
Wow. Yeah. I think that's awesome. And you've done that with Pitch Black, which has been expanded, right, across the United States. How did that happen?
Yeah. So after we did the first one, instantly I had people hit me up from all over the country. And so based on some relationships that I had, we found some other cities. We've done events in Philadelphia, in Seattle, and events in Austin as well over the past 7 years, which has been really great. And then whenever we do events in other cities, I always make sure to bring founders from Portland along to compete in those events as well, so that they can go take the idea that they've been building on here in Portland and introduce it to a new audience in another city.
Nice. Wow. And so it looks like we're coming up on another break, but if you can just give us a little teaser of this, like this year, I know that there were three people that walked away with funds compared to when you started the $700. What did it look like this year?
This year we turned out, you know, the ladies slayed and took the whole podium. And instead of a $700 check, we were able to give away six figures here, which is just blows me away. And everyone that competed this year also went away with a little bit of money at least. So it was an awesome event, you know, all the feels in the world. And I think also from a timing standpoint, you know, a lot of folks are really, needing to get back in the community, needing to be in physical proximity to other people that they haven't seen for a long time.
Yeah. Wow. So we're up on a break. I'm Dr. Lisa, and you're listening to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace. And when we come back, we'll continue talk about community and financial well-being with Stephen Green, a voice for underrepresented entrepreneurs, a true connector of people. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Are you wondering who you are meant to be in this ever-changing world right now? Kelly Kay is a certified new paradigm multidimensional transformation energy healer, ready to assist you in this transformative process of expanding your consciousness. She helps you transmute your wounds and traumas into healing, growth, and wisdom, resulting in self-empowerment and freedom from fear. Visit enlightenedmedicine.com to learn more.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Velara company. I've been using the Velara company equipment, the air machines, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Amber, your weekly host of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us and our global community of over 1 million strong on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. For more information, visit www.suivera.org. We look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
We are back with Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. We have Stephen Green, a voice for underrepresented entrepreneurs and a true connector of people who encourages maximum financial wellness. So, Stephen, tell me, we were just talking about this, how much Pitch Black has grown since you had the idea. And so How do we in our communities continue to develop and prosper on some of the work that you've done? If there's someone out there who's like, I have no idea what to do, like where would we even go?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think surprisingly not very innovative. Something you're going to read any, you know, business journal articles about. But when you look at the data, you know, less than 70% of U.S. companies ever get a loan, less than 0.5% of companies ever will raise equity of any kind. And so the normal average thing to do if you're a business owner is you take the money that you have in your pocket and you add it with this crazy thing called customers. And so, you know, the biggest investor, you know, that we have is really the consumer. And so, you know, what I always tell people is, you know, maybe you won't be a VC or maybe you don't like crowdfunding, but you can always choose where you buy your juice or you can choose where you buy your next coffee. And go and have that be a woman-owned business. Go and have that be a Black-owned business. And so there's a number of ways to find lists of Black-owned businesses that exist here in Portland and across the country. And then it's just go and put in practice, like, hey, every Thursday, I'm going to go and support this Black-owned business or this woman-owned business. That's probably not, you know, Harvard Business Review worthy answer. But when it comes to the dollars, that's where the dollars are. I know for the state of Oregon, biggest lender, the biggest bank that we have is Umpqua Bank. And in a given year, they'll do about $25 million in SBA loans, right? $25 million sounds like a lot of money. In the city of Portland, we spend $4.5 million every week. I'm sorry. Yeah, every week on food, right? So, you know, in just basically over a month, we're meeting and exceeding the output of our largest bank. And so I think people always discount the tried and true, be a customer, be a consistent customer, do reviews, tell your friends, make referrals. That's the best thing that we can do to support these businesses.
Yes, and I really love that you said that. It reminded me of your TED Talk where you talked about cheating. We need to cheat a little bit. And if you haven't seen Stephen's TED Talk, he did a TED Talk and we watched it at our house and we really loved what you had to say about, you know, when you go to a small business, that you're leaving some money here in actually our city, our state, and benefiting our community. And I haven't really heard that message before, but I really appreciated hearing it. And I think I can't remember the numbers that you stated in the TED Talk. I don't know if you remember them. I think maybe it was like 50 cents stays.
Yeah, so when you're going and you support a business like a Starbucks, less than 15 cents of every dollar you spend will stay in the city where you made that purchase. But when you go to a locally owned business, at least 50 cents of every dollar that you spend will stay in the city and be recycled. The other thing that I think people don't think about is, you know, small businesses are really the backbone of our community, right? Like, you know, I'm a big selfie guy. I'm never going to take a selfie at Target, right? You do that at small, locally owned businesses, right? And like we intuitively understand, like, hey, if I'm going on date night, or if I'm going to, you know, ask someone to marry me, or if I'm going to, you know, celebrate a graduation, it's probably not going to be at Applebee's, right? It's probably going to be a locally owned business where you're going to go and splurge that one time. And so I think we get it from a community standpoint. We just don't understand the gravity of the impact of that financially, you know, that decision that hundreds of thousands of people are making each and every day, each and every week, each and every month, every year. And what at the end of the day, what that really accounts to from a number standpoint. And mm-hmm. So the whole idea of cheating is going and taking away this idea of, you know, binary, I'm a good person or I'm a bad person, right? I'm a bad person if I shop at Amazon, and I'm a good person if I bought from a you know, place that, you know, killed the cow themselves, and they knew the cow's name and all their ancestors, right? No, like, let's just cheat. You know, maybe you do Amazon 6 days a week, but every Thursday you cheat on Amazon, and that's okay. And those small businesses that you cheat on Amazon with, they really appreciate it. But you can still get your conveniences at Amazon and do those things.
Right. And I hope if anything that people take away from our time together, that they go out and cheat, like pick a day and go out and support small businesses. And really, we're talking about community, right? When you look over at your neighbor and something happens, your neighbor has something you need, or you have something your neighbor needs. This is what we're talking about. And I feel like our society as a whole has stepped away from the care for one another, be there for one another. And it's become very individualistic. And in that, there's no healing in that. And so when we're able to go to a small business, or that, you know, we're able to care and but through our actions.
Yeah. I think, you know, especially when you go into more data, Louisiana State University did a study around a connection between health outcomes and small business in different cities across the country. And what they found is where small businesses thrived, there were lower incidences of heart disease. There were lower incidences of people dealing with diabetes. And I think it's because of what you were just talking about there. Like, we understand, like, community is healthy for us. We understand people that have friends for longer and are able to connect with other people, they live longer, right? That's a big piece of why we stay around. And that happens at small businesses. That doesn't happen at Costco, you know, unfortunately. You know, I'm going to get a chicken thing at Costco, but I build community at small businesses.
Right. And I thrive and advocate for this sense of community to come back into being the norm rather than the exception. And that's why your work is so valuable. And so I would also want to bring up Built Oregon, because as I watched you do different things, I was like, oh, Built Oregon, what's that? I had no idea what Built Oregon was. And, you know, it says here that we are a passionate collection of community and industry leaders, entrepreneurs, storytellers, investors, mentors, and organizers who believe that the support and growth of Oregon's consumer product industries will create sustainable, inclusive, and innovative job growth. And we see the power in owning our backyard from an industry standpoint, and also as a means to create more sustainable and resilient communities in Oregon.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
You know, this, it's great. I mean, I'm one of the founding board members for Built, and the current board chair. And, you know, I think part of where Built came from was this idea and our understanding that, you know, Oregon's DNA is in making things, right? And it even goes back to, you know, when people were on the wagon trains and on the Oregon Trail back in the 19th century, they had a choice to make when they got to Southern Idaho. Right. And while they're on the Oregon Trail, they can go south to go and try and be rich in the gold rush in California, or they could keep on going west and face really, really tough times and hard work, but to build something in community. And that still exists today in the people that start businesses and grow their businesses here. When we started our brew pub, it was three of our competitors that helped us figure out what to buy, what to rent, who to talk to, what service to avoid, all these things. And these were our competitors. And I think the DNA of Oregon is not only making things, but it's community over competition, right? It's not an uncommon thing for a competitor to be the one helping you learn the ropes and teaching you the tricks to avoid that they would have wished they would have avoided when they were starting their business.
And so for us, I love that. You know,
we lean in on that.
I love that. Time for a break. You're listening to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace, and we'll be right back with Stephen Green.
Are you passionate passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Don't miss Colette Marie Stephan on The Truth Is Funny, Shift Happens, every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Colette is a renowned energy worker here to help you see the serendipitous humor of the truth. It's funny. Tune in and laugh with Colette. Shift into your highest potential. Call into the show to work on your personal shift with Colette and visit TheTruthIsFunny.com to learn more about all the life-shifting services Colette offers.
Welcome back. You're listening to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace, with me, Dr. Lisa, and Stephen Green, who is a voice for underrepresented entrepreneurs and a true connector of people. Stephen, where can people find you? Where can they follow your work?
Best thing to do is jump in and reach out to me on Twitter at PDX Stephen G, PDX S-T-P-H-E-N-G. On Twitter, my DMs are always open. I love hearing what people are working on. And if I'm able to help, I'm always willing to do that. But far too often, I know little to nothing about what they're working on. And all I can say is, I wish you well. But I will at least respond and say that.
Amazing. And in your work, I think, how old were you when you started the Brew Pub?
That was 2013, but I started my first business when I was a junior in college. I went to college on an academic scholarship that covered part of school. And I also played football, so I had very little time on my hands. And so I took some odd jobs, but I just didn't have enough hours in the day to make it all work. And so I started selling Nike shoes on the internet. And that's how I paid for my last 2 years of college. That was my first business. Yeah.
You were selling Nike, and we know that Nike is from Oregon. So you were selling Nike shoes on the internet. It was your first business. Wow. And if there's anyone out there, and I want to talk a little bit more about Built Oregon, because this year, once I found out Built Oregon existed, I went there to buy Christmas presents this year. And, tell us a little bit more about Built Oregon and how people can engage, you know, what it is.
Yeah, you know, Built Oregon is really a collection of folks that are, you know, committed to helping other hard good maker businesses succeed and thrive and even close here in Oregon. You know, we've got a group of over 250 mentors, people that are across the state that have worked in all sorts of businesses, big and small. And I think for us, we come at it from a standpoint of, here's what worked for us, here's what didn't work for us, versus, you know, there's a lot of people providing business advice that have never ran a business at all. And so we love being able to go and say, you know, here are the questions you're not asking me that you should be asking me. And it's based off of our experience. And so for us, we've got a network of folks that have been there and done that with some success and some failures. And how can we help the next generation of folks learn from that and avoid the things that we hit our head up against along the way? So,
wow. It's much more than I thought. And how do people first of all, what is the website for Built Oregon so people can go there and check it out?
It's builtoregon.com is the website.
And I'll tell you, as a person who's gone on, there are so many businesses there, so many products. it's like reaching out to your neighbor. It really has that community feel. And I was able to get some really cool things for people that I would never have seen in the store. I'm not going to see it in Target or Target. And some notes back from some of the owners of like, hey, thank you for using my product and thank you for buying my product. And you don't typically get that in my Amazon package either.
Right. I think our sweet spot is definitely helping the founder that's already started their business, you know, maybe is a couple of years in, and they're hitting that point of wearing all the hats. What do I do next? And it's less of a question of how do I grow this thing, and more of a question of how do I find balance? How do I not burn out? What are the things I need to take off of my plate and give to other people? What are the processes that I need to put into place? And so oftentimes people are connecting with us for one reason. And then once they start talking to us, they find out, oh, I need help on all these other things. And, you know, newly minted founders love working in their business, opening the doors, selling the product. They don't understand the difference between working in the business and working on the business. And on the business is talking about things like intellectual property. It's talking about proper forms of insurance that you need to have. It's thinking about your costs of goods sold. All of these things are not glamorous, they're not sexy, but they're the difference between you, you know, growing your business and taking advantage of opportunities and you going out of business. And that's the stuff that we do a really, really good job of, that people understand that are in the stage where we're connecting with them. It's not sexy. But that's the stuff that the SBAs of the world, you know, just don't have enough information or experience on to be able to be helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so if people were, what can people do to do this work? Like, how can they contribute? If there's someone out there saying, this sounds great, I would love to participate in some way, or I would like to start this in my community. What would you say to them?
Yeah. Built Oregon is a 501c3 nonprofit, so we have a donation page. So if anyone wants to financially support the work that we're doing, go and do it. The work in Oregon is different than the work in Mississippi. It's different than the work in New York. It's different than the work in Rhode Island. And so I think what we've been really good at is figuring out what are for us as of today and where we can leverage the experience of people that we have. I think how we can help other people in the communities is being able to ask the right questions around what are the problems in their communities, what are the things that people are struggling with, versus, well, I just want to go and do this. And so anyone that allows me to do this, I'm going to go then help them with that, versus that may not be what the businesses in their community need. And so that's really what we figured out. None of it is really glamorous work. And it also changes. So, you know, one big pivot for us, you know, find anything around diversity or inclusion on our website. In the past 2 years, all of our work has been focused on Black entrepreneurs. And that's because we saw the data that Black entrepreneurs were the hardest hit when COVID came through. And they're the ones with the least resources before COVID arrived. And so we knew if there was ever a place where we could surgically really add a lot of value, it's with those businesses that were hurting the most, and that was Black businesses.
Wow. I mean, that is really, it's very moving. It's moving to hear, and it's moving to see as I've watched over the period of time. And like I said, we don't know what we don't know. And I'm just so curious on how we're going to continue to create spaces for Black businesses and Black entrepreneurs, and spaces for business owners who can go and just what you said, like, you don't need to work on this part, but you need to work on this part. And I, you know, I really applaud your work. I mean, it's just very, 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 very moving. And as a small business owner myself, just gumption. Gumption is what kind of pushed me into it. So when someone asked me recently, like, why did you start your business? And I started my business because the city of Santa Monica wanted me to do a training, and I needed a business license to do the training. That's why I started the business.
I didn't have a business plan. I didn't know anything about that part. It was for necessity. And so as people continue to grow, it's wonderful to see a place where you are really, really living out your purpose, you know, really living out your purpose in the community. And it is very, very impressive to me. And I just, we got 3 minutes left. If you could just even tell people again, like where to find you, if people wanted to donate, how they can help, wherever they are in the world.
Yeah. Again, you can find me on Twitter is the best place to see me. At Steven, at PDX Steven G. It's PDX STEPHENG on Twitter. Also available on LinkedIn, and it's Steven B. Green on LinkedIn. And for Built Oregon and the work that we do, you can find us at builtoregon.com. We do a ton of stuff around, you know, consumer packaged goods companies here in the state of Oregon, supporting them, helping them get into grocery stores. And then, you know, I hope for the people that are listening, the one thing I hope that they take away is that they're the ones that are in control. It's not bankers, it's not lenders, it's not investors. And I know that doesn't match what you read about in Fast Company or, you know, the New York Times. But the data really shows that the power is the consumer. And so if you can do nothing else, you're not sending somebody a weed or helping them raise their round of funding, buy their stuff. Go and make a decision and say, hey, you know, this month I'm only going to buy from women-owned businesses, and next month I'm only going to buy from businesses in this certain part of town. You're going to meet some amazing people. You're going to hear their stories. I think one of the things that keeps me going in all this, and most of this work I do volunteer, is I just love people's stories. There's nothing that beats being around when someone's small and got gumption and really sees a future so clearly. And they just need a little bit of help. They need a little bit of direction. And amazing things happen, you know, when you enter that moment.
Awesome. That is awesome. That's my tip. That's my tip for this week. Thank you, Stephen, for being here. Please join us next time on In Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, Every Day Living in Peace. You spent the last hour engaging in challenging and transformational conversations, all for the purpose of living a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Join me next time to continue growing in love and light through healing practices and acts of love. To learn more or work with me, Dr. Lisa, visit educationthroughengagement.com. That's educationthroughengagement.com. Remember, the world changes when we change by coming home to love. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.